You're listening to Vatican Radio. As the hundreds of thousands of pilgrims who gathered in the Vatican for Sunday's canonization of Popes John XXIII and John Paul II head away from Rome and back to their home countries, we continue to hear first-hand impressions from church leaders who took part in this historic event. Among those concelebrating the canonization mass with Pope Francis was the Archbishop of Quebec and Primate of the Canadian Catholic Church, Cardinal Gerald Lacroix. Just after the event, he talked to Laura Yeracci about the legacy of the two new saints and how he experienced their canonizations as an extraordinarily joyful and prayerful moment.
I was amazed to see hundreds of thousands of people. I wasn't able to count them all, but it was a sea of people out there. And when the Pope asked for a time of silence and prayer, everybody prayed in silence. And yet there was so much joy in celebrating. Of course, we felt the presence of many Italians who were happy to be there for John the 23rd, and so many Polish people, and we could see the flags all over, to celebrate the Pope John Paul, St. John Paul II. I was overwhelmed with joy. I was very moved. Just the declaration by Pope Francis, the very official aspect at the beginning of the celebration, where he proclaims them saints and the prefect of the Congregation for the Cause of Saints, moved me very much. It really brought tears to my eyes of joy. I was a very young boy when Pope John XXIII died. Actually, we had received our television at home for the first, our first television set came in maybe a week or two before the death of Pope John XXIII, and that his funeral was broadcast on television. It was probably one of the first TV programs I saw. And I remember my folks, my parents, my uncles and aunts, my grandparents talked to me about this wonderful, the good Pope John XXIII. I didn't know him much. Later on, I mean, I've read up on him and I've seen movies and I've read a lot of his writings, and he really impressed me, his goodness. He's a good man. And he helped the world at his time discover that God is good and he loves humanity. He was a good witness to that. I was 21 years old when Pope John Paul II was elected. 21 years old, that's pretty young, you know. And he was the Pope of all my youth from those years until when I was ordained a deacon and a priest, he was there, and until 2005, from 1978 to 2005. So I grew up and I lived on his teaching, on his homilies, Angelus, reading as much as I could. And later on in his life, Internet became available, so we could read every day what this Pope was saying. He was really a master, a teacher, a witness, a man who was so firm in his faith. So this morning, I remember all of that, and I was so happy to see so many cardinals, brother cardinals, and maybe, I don't know how many bishops, maybe close to 1,000, I don't know, to come give thanks to the Lord for these great pastors that the Church received as a gift.
Looking back on Pope Francis's homily, he spoke about the courage of the two new saints and their contribution to the development and peace. What significance does this message have in our world, which is so struck by war?
You know, war has been part of the history of humanity, not just in modern times, but all through its history. Pope John XXIII said that there can be no peace without justice, and development is the new name for peace and justice. We need justice. And I was so pleased to hear Pope Francis talk about that and recalling how Pope John XXIII was open to the Holy Spirit to be able to read the signs of the times and propose to all Catholics and Christians, but also to all of humanity. His openness to all of humanity was something very new. And of course, he had the experience because he'd been in Eastern countries. He'd been in countries where he met Orthodox Muslims. So he had heard and listened and shared with these brothers and sisters of other faiths. And so when he became Pope, he was able to have this in mind, and his message rang out very well to the world and to all brothers and sisters. And the Vatican Council was an ecumenical council, and brought not only Catholic bishops, but also many leaders of other faiths to come and reflect and discern how the Church today can So I think that was a great contribution. And Pope Francis, recalling how Pope John the 23rd was so open to the Holy Spirit, was like telling us, now, if we are open to the Holy Spirit, we'll find ways today to deal with the problems of war and injustice. Pope John Paul II is totally different. His charisms, his gifts, brought him to go out and outreach, go out to the world and meet men and women of all faiths, of all cultures, all continents, all countries, to go share the good news of the gospel. And I recall very vividly having experienced when he visited Canada, but also through the media, we visited so many countries when John Paul II visited them. We saw him on TV, we heard what he said, we read what he said, and it was always an invitation to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, Christianity, as a road for peace, for reconciliation, for justice. Pope John Paul II, Saint John Paul II now, we can say, had a way of proposing the gospel as a way of life. Never imposing, but proposing. And he did it in a bold yet respectful way. He was a convinced man, deeply rooted in Christ, in the gospel. And so I remember that through his teaching, whether it be homilies, talks, the Angelus, every time he met with groups, he had a way of inviting us to open ourselves up to the gospel so we could be instruments of peace.
Now, we've heard many times today described as the Day of the Four Popes. How can we explain the significance of this expression?
Well, listen, this is unique in history. Four Popes, the Sunday of Four Popes, that's what I call it too. I'm glad you use that expression. Two popes that are now saints in heaven, and two popes in St. Peter's Square. Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI was there today, not just listening, but concelebrating Mass with Pope Francis. So that's four popes, two in heaven and two on earth. That is absolutely awesome. When we entered, the cardinals, we entered and revered the altar, and then they brought us all to Pope Benedict to greet him. It was so touching to touch these holy men who serve the Church. We have two holy popes among us, Pope Emeritus Benedict, Pope Francis, and then these other two who are now in the glory of the Lord and with him, I'm sure, interceding before the Lord for our Church. I am very convinced that the Lord gives us the popes we need at every moment in history. We needed a John the 23rd at that time in history. You know, he was an old man when he was elected, and yet look at all the good he did. That revolution, that renewal that brought about through the Vatican Council. We needed a John Paul I, a Paul VI, John Paul II, and now Benedict and Francis. The Lord knows and gives us the popes we need to help the people of God continue their journey.
The Pope today, during his homily, referred to Pope John Paul II as the Pope of the family. Now, we're used to hearing Pope John Paul II described as the Pope of communications, the Pope of travel, the Pope of suffering, the Pope of encounter, but never really as the Pope of the family. So what do you make of that?
Well, you know, Laura, this reveals to us that Pope Francis has a very, very profound respect and knowledge of who Pope John Paul II was. Because, yes, of course, media will say all of these things that you've mentioned. He was a very charismatic man. He communicated so well. I mean, he was so easily spoke and know how to touch people in his way of speaking. He was also a man who was faithful right to the end and through suffering gave a wonderful witness. But Pope Francis mentioned this. If you recall, many years during his catechesis, he talked about the theology of the body, which was an anthropological and theological and pastoral way of teaching and showing us how men and women are called to live by God's plan, their life, their relationship, their sexuality. And I think it's such a beautiful teaching. in our country right now, in Canada, we are experiencing a lot of teaching on this. And young people are enthused by these catechisms, this catechesis on the theology of the body. They're discovering, wow, this is beautiful. This is a way of life. This is full of hope. This is how we want to live. It's very different from what the world has to propose in many ways. So I think by Pope Francis mentioning this today, of course, we have to remember these next 2 years we'll be talking about the family. The Extraordinary Synod in October and then the Ordinary Synod next year will be about the family, because it's a fundamental issue in the life of the Church and the life of society also. So recalling how St. John Paul II reflected on this and had something beautiful and very profound to teach the world is a way of saying that the Church has something very important to say about the family.
Today we said there are about 800,000 people who attended the canonizations, either in St. Peter's Square or around the city. It's an event that was a great demonstration of fervent faith. How can we as a Church try to promote this fervent faith on a daily basis?
Many things surprised me today to see these men and women and a lot of young people. Yesterday afternoon, as I traveled around the Vatican and around the city of Rome, early afternoon, there were thousands of people already there, young people, with their sleeping bags and ready to spend the night to be there early and close to experience today's canonizations. That tells me that young people are very interested. Many of them said, we're the John Paul II generation. We followed him all over the world through the World Youth Day, and here we are. He has something to say to us today. I think that these canonizations reveal to us how important it is to be rooted in Christ, in the gospel, and in our Catholic faith. And it's an invitation for us to be profoundly proud, in a humble way, but proud to be Christians. How can we live this after this day is over, after these celebrations and everybody goes home, these hundreds and thousands of buses and charter flights and what have you, everyone goes home? If we live our lives as true Christians, if we continue to encounter Jesus Christ, as Pope Francis is inviting us to do every day, and be renewed by him, we will witness to the gospel, and that's how the world will change. The world does not need people who will just teach dogma or tradition or rites. All that is important, but the fundamental is this personal relationship with Jesus Christ, personal and community relationship. And I think that's what the Church needs now, and that's what Pope Francis is inviting us to do. If we want to continue living what Pope John the 23rd and John Paul II taught us, we need to be open to the Spirit and ready to go out and meet the world. Firm in our faith, humble, full of mercy, but led by the Holy Spirit as they were. We don't know where this is going to take us. Neither did the apostles 2,000 years ago. But their experience of an encounter with the risen Christ and Pentecost gave them the fire and the fuel to go. Go out to the world and teach and preach the good news. That's where we need to go out. And I love to hear Pope Francis insist on we need to be a Church that goes out to the peripheries, goes out to meet people. We need to discover that. And I think that's how we're going to continue to live our faith. If we build on the witnessing of these two great saints, we won't do things like they did because they were of another era, another decade, another time in history. But their docility to the Holy Spirit, their openness to the Spirit, their fervor, their apostolic zeal, missionary zeal to go out to the world, yeah, we can bank on that and we can go out, and that's what the world needs, I think.